Thank you. Velour jumpsuit and some house slippers. Dookie brown leather jacket that I found. Dig it. They had a broken keyboard. I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket. Then I bought a kneeboard. Hello, hello, my ace man, my mellow. John Wayne ain't got nothing on my fringe game. Hell no. I could take some pro wings, make them cool, sell those. The sneakerheads will be like, ah, he got the Velcro.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome. Ow. I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my
Good afternoon, San Rafael. You're listening to Penguin Radio, only on radio.dominican.edu.
We'll give you the news feeds, the entertainment sleaze, and some sports leads. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. Welcome to Good Day from the Bay.
So this is our second show on the air, everyone. We're so excited to be back. We have a little dynamic running. I think you guys may have missed it in our last show. We like to run things pretty smoothly. We have three basic concepts we like to go over: news, entertainment, and sports. We'd like to keep it kind of classy, throw some fun things in there. So we'll start out our segment with news. All you animal activists out there, you need to listen carefully. A New Hampshire man tried to sell an 80-pound rhinoceros head online, and the charges have been dropped.
What?
Yeah.
An 80-pound rhinoceros head.
Yep. It was poached, and it was stuffed, and everything. It was completely taxidized? Taxidermy?
Who would ever think about doing that in the first place, though?
It's absolutely crazy. The man's name is Ari Goldenberg. He is from New Hampshire, and he was charged by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in 2012 with selling an endangered species.
Wow.
So we're not just talking about any old animal, like a deer on the side of the road. We're talking about like some serious animals that are
like a big rhinoceros.
Yeah, it's a big animal, and it's an animal that'll potentially be extinct within the next 10, 15 years. So he was also charged with falsifying records, and Goldenberg said that the black rhino head was supposedly part of a collection donated to him from an academy, and it's from the 1930s. So this is an old rhinoceros head.
Wow.
And I saw the pictures, you guys. It sounds crazy, but the picture is even crazier. It is literally bigger than this man. It's absolutely huge.
What are you even supposed to do with something like that?
Yeah, and this is the even grosser part. He put an ad to sell it on Craigslist, and a buyer willingly paid $35,000. Thank God. It luckily turned out to be an undercover wildlife agent who since then has confiscated the rhino head.
But to put something like that on Craigslist, I'm sure you can buy anything on Craigslist nowadays.
It's disgusting. I'm like, it's one thing, you know, to like, I don't know, like say, oh, I want like a fur coat. Like morally, people may not agree with it. I mean, but who purposefully seeks out a rhino head? Like, oh, this would make a great coffee table.
Or put it on your wall somewhere. No, that's terrible. That's the weirdest design thing to put in
your
house
ever. And
it's
not very aerodynamic. And what the heck? What are you going to put it in? What car? Are you going to put it in a pickup truck? A U-Haul?
Can you see someone driving down the street with
a rhino head.
Giant rhino head in the back of their truck? What would you say? You'd be like, what?
It's absolutely unbelievable. Like, can I have a U-Haul for my rhino head? Like, no, it's weird. But so this man has been convicted. Charges are dropped, but I mean, at least the rhino head's now in the custody of an undercover wildlife agent.
And that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a wrap on the rhino head.
Yeah, moving across the world to Iraq, Turkish soldiers and tanks took a position along the borders of Syria on Tuesday as governments debated whether to deploy troops to battle the Islamic State of terror, a move that comes tens of thousands pour into the country to escape the ISIS fighters. The flood of refugees from Syria have escalated to 15,000 people fleeing into Turkey in recent days, as ISIS fighters armed with tanks and heavy weapons advanced to towns of Kobani, known as Iraq or Arabic, in Iraq, destroying villages and paths. So what's happening is not only is America getting in on this war, mm-hmm. so to speak, that is coming, this battle that, you know, this huge problem that's happening in Syria right now, mm-hmm. Turkey has also put up tanks on the border so people can't, you know, cross the borders, and just to put up more guard out there.
It's really terrifying when you think about it. I've been following this ISIS thing for the last like 2-3 months, and to know that there's such evil out there and that people are living to harm you, to living and enjoying and thinking that it's part of their religion and their purpose in life to hurt others and destroy lives. It is just, it's crazy. And the fact that they're stopping at absolutely nothing to make sure that they get what they want.
And there's already been so many damages and corruption sent, like, since they started this.
It's never ending. I mean, with all the beheadings that are going on, there was the two American journalists who were completely beheaded just as a warning sign. I mean, their warning sign was actually beheading an innocent person. And then not too long ago, just a random vacationer, someone, I believe in France, just vacationing, like me or you, if we were to go to France, was taken off the streets and an ISIS member beheaded him because France had just gotten involved in the fight against them.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of different countries joining in on this war, this battle that is, it's becoming huge now. But do ISIS really think that they can really take on half the world? Because that's what they're basically trying to do.
Well, that's not the thing. It's not like country fighting a country. These ISIS members are implanted within all these countries. Like, we have ISIS members in America that are closely linked to government, and nobody has any idea that they're linked with government until they do something crazy or they're caught at a radical convention. So, I mean, in Australia, they had the world's biggest terrorist raid, and they arrested 14 people in Australia who were born in Australia, Australian citizens, but were getting information from the Middle East to kill people in Australia.
That's such a scary thought to think mm-hmm. that they could be anywhere, technically.
Yeah, we are... I mean, it's been told to me we are more unsafe in our own countries than we would be in the Middle East at this point. It's absolutely out of control. And being a member in government, I mean, I don't know what they're trying to, like, I mean, I'm sure it's a helpless feeling. I'm sure everyone in government feels
so... Because it's not
really
what you can do to stop this if you don't even know where
it's
coming
going
from.
Yeah, it's sneaky and it's almost childish on their behalf, but it's something that we got to pay attention to. And I think it's important that we all follow up on this whole ISIS crisis.
I agree.
Speaking of... On Tuesday, September 30th, 2014, it was recorded and tallied up that 2,206 members of the U.S. military have died in Afghanistan as a result of the U.S.-led invasion in Afghanistan in late 2001 following the 9/11 attacks. The AP count is 2 less than the Defense Department's tally last Tuesday at 10 a.m. At least 1,825 military service members have died in Afghanistan as a result of hostile action. According to the military's numbers, outside of Afghanistan, the department reports at least 134 more members of the U.S. military dying in support of Operation Enduring Freedom.
No.
Of those, 11 were a result of hostile action. The AP count of total OEF casualties outside of Afghanistan is 5 more than the department's tally. The Defense Department also counts 4 military civilian deaths since the start of the U.S. military operations in Afghanistan. 19,996 U.S. service members have been wounded in hostile action, according to the Defense Department.
You know, that's just really sad, and to hear that so many people are going into this war that we're, you know, a part of. And it's just, if it's not one thing, it's the next. More and more things just keep popping up. Like, the world is becoming evil, and all the news, I feel like, is just sad to hear. There's nothing good that's happening.
I agree. I mean, Ruby, I mean... Would you have thought that this, because we were alive when this happened. I mean, we were alive when September 11 happened. Would you have ever thought that this would have been the longest war in all of American history?
I would have never thought that since 2001 that we would be in this situation right now where more things just keep on popping up left and right also.
It's a never-ending conflict. If it's not one thing, it's another. And it's really sad. I mean, growing up, I feel like in our generation especially, we've grown up in this mindset that peace cannot be reached.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. Well, it's very difficult to, like, know how to fix this problem, because it's not a problem that you can really fix. And you can't even just blame it on a president, because it's become more than just America can't help the world.
And no one wants to agree. I read something online, and what I found so fascinating was, since it's all based off religion, if all religions practice to achieve peace, why can't the world achieve peace?
What a quote right there.
Isn't that crazy? It's true, because it's like all of these religions are so-called achieving peace. Even these radical Islamic people, they're saying that their religion is based off the goodwill of God and peace and having peace with God. But, I mean, if you check any other religion out there, peace with God doesn't mean destroying the world
and killing random people.
Yeah, and destroying God's so-called other people. I mean, I feel like it's a fair assumption that in every religion, you have to assume that they're a good person if they're practicing something of a higher being.
And God teaches you to love one another, not to go out, I would say.
Yeah, and
destroy the world.
And I feel like that's a common theme in most religions. And if it's not put in your exact words, it's put in some other words with the same meaning.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed that something is resolved or we reach a peace or an agreement or even a treaty at this point, some kind of pact. Because this is not okay, and this is not something we want to continue on for years to come.
I hear that.
Moving across, though, back into the United States, we all are aware of the Boston Marathon bombing, yeah?
Yeah.
That was absolutely the most terrifying thing to have happened in America. Again, it was another thing that rose. It was a terrorist act, and it was something that really frightened us as Americans. However, the Boston bombing, it was caused by, somebody, Tarzanivia, I'm butchering the name. It was these two young boys, and they were convicted, and they were later killed in a gun battle with police. But their sister, she was led away in handcuffs on Tuesday after a brief court appearance on allegations that she threatened to put a bomb and a perceived romantic rival. Her lawyer called it an uncorroborated claim. Alina Tarzanivia is 24. She's of North Bergen, New Jersey, and she was held on an aggravated harassment charge, which blew my mind when reading this article, because when I think bomb, I think that's the intent to terrify. Yeah. Completely. It's a terrorist thing.
And it's crazy, after a year, basically a year's gone by, this is still a problem.
It's been like a little over a year, but I mean, the fact that her siblings, no matter innocent or guilty, they never had a chance to be fairly tried, innocent or guilty, they were the prime suspects to one of the bigger bombings in America. And the fact that she could just slip the word bomb out of her lips
and just say it so regularly.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, it was on a perceived romantic rival. Her boyfriend was, or her husband, it was her husband. Husband was supposedly talking to someone, and she told this lady that he was talking to, I know people who have connections to put a bomb where you live. Like, how wrong? I mean, I don't care how psycho you are as a girl. Go for it. Hormones rage. Let them rage on. But don't threaten stuff
don't
like
threaten
that.
Don't threaten the word bomb either. Don't use that ever.
That's never okay.
It's just not funny. It's not a joke. It's something that's taken very seriously.
Especially in this day and age when people aren't kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, people are truly capable of the most heinous things.
And people, or even children or teenagers, can create their own nowadays. So that's what's scary about it.
But this wasn't the first time she's had trouble with the law. She was also arrested in 2009 on charges where she left the scene of an accident, but it was later dismissed. I'm really shocked that she just let those words slip loosely. Her brother was Joshkar Chushnarv, and he was charged with building and planting the two pressure cooker bombs that exploded near the marathon's finish line, killing 3 people and injuring more than 260 others. He pleaded not guilty, but later Tamerlan Tarzanov died after a gun battle with police.
Yeah, well, that's just really scary right there, talking about how, like, what I was saying, that, you know, teenagers can create their own bombs. It's not like a big weapon now that that only, like, the army can use. Like, teenagers can build it, people can build it, and that's what's so scary about the fact that, you know, bombs are out there.
Well, and this is what I find more disturbing. I mean, back to like the Craigslist thing with the rhino head, I mean, you can buy anything on Craigslist. You can buy machines to steal people's identity, to like swipe people's credit card numbers and turn it into your own credit card, and you can even buy bombs. It's not right, and I feel like the government, I mean, if we're going to start fixing the bigger issues, we got to work on these smaller issues of, you know, tying those loose ends and monitoring the internet and monitoring what's going on Craigslist and eBay and Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, even though we do have a free country, I think some things really do need to be monitored.
Especially when it affects everybody's well-being.
I completely agree. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to our health little segment of news that's going on right now. Pediatricians chart children's growth at every visit, right? Tracking how they conform to age-appropriate standards. What if the standard measured of aging were similarly available? Warren Sanderson, a professor at Social and Behavioral Sciences at Stony Brook University, is working on ways to define aging other than passing of the years. With colleagues at the International Institute for Applied System Analysis in Luxembourg, Austria, he recently published a study showing that the strength of an adult's hand grip can distinguish different rates of aging in people with variety of levels of education. So basically what they're saying is by hand gripping, giving someone a hand, like a handshake, you can tell there are different rates of aging, like if they're aging faster, aging slower. Even with your education, you can tell, like at 65 nowadays, people are saying that that's old, or back in the days, they were saying that 65 is old. Nowadays, 65 isn't that old. People are still going out, doing
65
crazy.
65 is the new 30.
It really is. Like, if you see, like, people at 65, they go out, they go on trips. Once they're retired, around the age 65 is kind of when their life re-begins, is what's happening nowadays. They envision that one day that physicians will have a standard age-related tables for these measures and chart their patients' progress, just as they do with height and weight with children. So what this article is basically saying is when children go in and get a physical, they do height, weight, age, and make sure everything is on a standard chart. Nowadays, what's going to happen in the future is they're going to measure aging. So around 65 years old, you can go in, do a handshake, hand grip, and some other different forms of measurements to tell, like, how old you really are and what your body can be able to do in the future.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very fascinating, especially with like medical technologies and vaccinations and yada, yada, yada.
People are living longer.
It's crazy that like you were saying that 65 at one point in time was considered old. And now, like I said, it's the new 30. People are like, oh, 65 is fabulous. And like, let's never die, forever young. And it's crazy. We're living in a world where we're looking at people living until they're 90.
Yeah. 90 to 100. People are living good lives, good, long, healthy lives nowadays because all the medicines and all the, you know, doctor's appointments they can go to that help them live a healthy life, and all the food they're eating now that people know that smoking is bad for you, and food that you eat does affect how your body reacts.
Mm-hmm. And it's not to say that people still won't do those things, but there are people who are so conscious about it, they're resilient in their life expectancies. But when you were reading that, I couldn't help but think, my tennis coaches were saying that in China, they run off a different age system. So technically, like if you're 20 years old, you're actually in your 21st year.
Really?
Because in China, they don't go from 0 to 1. They just start at 1. So when the day you're born, you're 1 year old.
Wow. I did not know that.
So technically, I'm already 21.
Technically, if we're going off that.
But if we were to go to like a club or something, I don't think the bouncer would really buy it. But if anybody asks, it's my cop out. I'm 21.
There you go.
Just one of those things.
Okay, next, having to do with health as well. The U.S. regulators are greenlighting a new weight loss drug called Contrave, the third in a string of approvals for an anti-obesity treatment. The Food and Drug Administration said Thursday that it is approved for use by people who have a body mass index of 30 or higher, which is considered to be obese, and for people with a BMI of 27 or higher, who also have weight-related medical conditions such as diabetes. Patients on Contrave for a year have lost 4.2% more weight than patients taking any dummy over-the-counter pill that they have out there.
See, I don't know how I feel about these weight loss pills. It seems that every time a new pill comes out and it seems like it's better than the last product, something always comes out the following year. Like, remember that Garcinia Cambogia craze?
Yeah.
So it just came out that people are having heart attacks.
From the Garcinia?
From the Garcinia Cambogia because of the drugs they use to speed up your metabolism. It's like speeding up their heart, and people are like having, like they're experiencing heart failure or heart attacks. It's one thing after another, like with certain things. I mean, Anna Nicole Smith did Trim Spa.
Yeah.
She dropped dead of like liver failure or something. Like,
what I think is people need to realize that there are these weight loss pills, and yeah, maybe they will help for a period of time, but it's not a lifetime. It's mm-hmm. a period of time. It's not your whole life. You need to learn how to be healthy on your own and, you know, exercise and eat well. And that's how you will lose weight, not by these pills that are just a short amount of time mm-hmm. weight loss drop.
I agree with that. And I also think, too, it can't be something that you solely rely on. If you're going to be serious about losing weight, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to eat McDonald's for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but take a weight loss pill and it's going to be fine. You got to put in the work to get the results.
Exactly. I like that. Yeah. Put in the work to get the results.
Yeah. Don't take the shortcut way. If there were shortcuts in life, everything would be easy.
True that.
Heard that.
All right. right. So our next, when we get back from the break, we're going to go into technology and talk about
a little tech, a little entertainment.
Hologram Man, iPhone 6, the new Apple Pay.
But in entertainment, we got some news on Tracy Morgan and the recovery of his recent accident. We have Michael Phelps and Amanda Bynes. You can guess what they have in common. And we have Liam Hemsworth dishing on some Miley Cyrus.
Ooh.
And finally, we have Jason Derulo.
Oh, you killed that. Nailed it. On spot.
Thank you. And Jordan Sparks and their latest breakup. So stay tuned and you will find out what is going on in Hollywood.
The news sounds spicy.
Yes. And I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe.
You're listening to Good Day from the Bay. And this is radio.dominican.edu.
I forgot to say it was you. Knowing me, I know it's true. Oh, you. It was you. I forgot to say it was you. Knowing me, I know.
Welcome to another Bosco Break. From the outside looking in, life of a college athlete seems to compare to the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Seems that a normal day for a college athlete includes automatic A's from professors, trainer massages, and free everything. Although the free shirts that are required to sweat through 6 days a week are pretty great, a normal day inside the life of a student athlete during season looks a little more like this. You wake up to the sound of your blaring alarm at 5 a.m. to roll over and look outside, just to make sure the sun hasn't come up yet and you are not late. Head to the bathroom to complete your morning rituals, then return to the bedroom to get dressed for your morning workout. Before walking out, you gather your three bags: the drawstring workout bag that holds your shoes and equipment, the bag that has your change of clothes for the day, and finally, your backpack that includes your schoolwork and computer. As you walk out, you grab a protein bar and banana to hold you over for the next 6 hours of the day. Finally, you open the door to be greeted by the brisk January morning colds. It's 5:30 a.m. 15 minutes and a long, chilly walk later, you arrive at the gym. In the locker room, you and your other teammates strip the sweats you are wearing and grab the binders coach has required you to carry around. After that, you make your way to the training room to do some preventive stretches and get your ankles taped. The clock strikes 5:45 a.m., and it's time to hit the court. If you're not 15 minutes early, you're late, coach always says. Begin team stretches and loosen your muscles before you get driven into the ground now. Practice went over. 2 hours later, sweaty, exhausted, and late for class, you run to the locker room to change and head to your first class of the day. Sitting in your 8 a.m. class after a workout can make your eyes a little heavy. The decision between taking a quick snooze or listening to the material that your professor is spewing is becoming a struggle. Finally, after two dreadful lectures, you are free for an hour to grab some lunch. For most athletes, outside of dinner, lunch is the highlight of the day. After lunch, it's right back to the classes for some more lecture and occasionally a video relief. When classes are done at 3, coach requires study hall hours to make sure you are keeping up with your homework. Hour and a half of homework. Check. Since you are already back in the gym team room, might as well get some extra shots up while you're here, right? You got lost in the fun part. Losing yourself in game? Oh, and in time. It's 6:30 p.m. You hurry to the dining hall before it closes, stuffing as much pasta and chicken onto your plate that will fit. After almost swallowing your plate whole, you head back to your room to digest and relax before the second practice of the day. While laying on the bed checking Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter feeds, you debate on taking a 20-minute nap. Knowing you're going to wake up groggy, you avoid the stress of not being able to play to the best of your ability and decide to head out to practice early. Arriving at the gym, you're forced to wait for the other athletic teams to finish up with their gym time. As they clear out of the weight room, you look at the clock and realize it's 8 p.m. Go time. After pumping iron for an hour straight, it takes a toll on your body. Head back to the training room now and get some ice on those muscles. As you're waddling back to your room with ice strapped to your knees, you call a fellow classmate to meet you at home to study for that anatomy quiz tomorrow morning. After walking through your door at 9:30 p.m., you can't wait to get in a hot shower and rinse the long day off. You get out to find your classmate waiting for you and immediately start studying. 12 a.m., and you finally get to crawl into bed. Setting your alarm for 5 a.m., you pull up Netflix to watch Sons of Anarchy, but fall asleep before it ends, knowing it'll all happen again tomorrow. The glory of it? You wouldn't have it any other way. That's your Bosco break. Thanks for listening. Back to the show.
Good afternoon, Sanderfell. You're listening to Penguin Radio, only at radio.dominican.edu. I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. Welcome back.
This is Good Day in the Bay. We're going back into our entertainment segment for this portion of the show. And like we teased earlier, we have Liam Hemsworth speaking out about Miley Cyrus,
ooh,
Jason Derulo, and Jordan Sparks' breakup. And Tracy Morgan speaking out after his accident. We also have the connection on what connects Michael Phelps and dear old Amanda Bynes.
Oh,
we're starting off, though, with my favorite, Jason Derulo. Can't really say it the same. It doesn't sound the same.
Jason Derulo.
Yeah, you gotta say Jason Derulo. You know,
you can't ever just say his name.
Derulo. Yeah.
Derulo.
Derulo. It sounds better when you sing it. Going into it, though, both Jordan Sparks and Jason Derulo have opened up about what ended their nearly three-year relationship. Jordan Sparks came out, and she went on the morning's Today show, and she was asked how she's been handling the split, and she, quote, says, "I'm good, actually." The funny thing is, she read this quote, and it said, "When something unexpected happens in your life, you think something bad happens, you just say, plot twist."
Plot twist.
That's something that me and Ruby over here, we do on a daily basis.
We use that word a lot.
So when I read about this, I thought, you go, girl. You belong in our group.
You do your thing.
Yeah, do your thing.
Join us.
Join us at our table.
Yeah.
Sparks' response also echoed her earlier sentiments late last week when she broke her silence on the breakup in a tweet that read, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." Meanwhile, Jason Derulo, he stopped by on Air with Ryan Seacrest, and he was a little bit more honest about what was really going on between the famous couple. Well, ex-couple.
Ex-couple.
He was quoted in saying, "Every relationship has its ups and downs. There was a lot of pressure of marriage. There was a lot of arguing and stuff like that, and it just weighed our relationship over time."
Well, relationships kind of do have that. If, you know, you fight about the same thing over and over and over again, one day it's just going to have to end.
Well, yeah, why keep beating the dead horse?
Exactly.
Like, just bury it and move on. He also went on to say that he wouldn't say they're on good terms, but he admitted he'd be lying if he said that they were in a bad situation. He said there's absolutely no bad blood, and we didn't end on a weird note or a negative way. It's not like they're hitting each other up, though, saying, "Hey, what are you doing today?" Back on their little history, the two first made their relationship public back in January 2012, but they were first romantically linked as a couple in September 2011.
Oh.
R.I.P. Jordan Sparks and Jason Derulo.
On a bright side of that, negatively on a bright side of that, I should say, maybe, you know, two new songs will be hitting the radio soon and we'll be listening to some breakup music.
You know, breakup music's always good, even if you're not in a breakup, because I don't know about you people out there, but I feel like breakup music is just, it's
It's soothing, it's calming, it's
everything at the same
it's
time.
It's supportive. It's supportive. Yeah, you know?
It's totally supportive. And it's like, if you want to have a day to cry, it's there. And if you want to make yourself feel better, you could say, hey, at least I'm not you.
And a nice sing-along song to go to.
Exactly. Belt it out in the car with the rooftop down.
Yeah, that describes my life, usually.
So, Ruby, you love That's Miley.
Oh, I love Miley.
How much do you love Miley Cyrus?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm her biggest fan.
What about Liam Hemsworth?
I really like him, too.
Even if they're broken up?
Yeah, that's the better way. So, I'd rather have Liam.
Well, yeah, I would think so. So I think you're going to be a little excited about this story.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I was a little excited. This headline really kind of like, oh.
Well, Miley and Liam, you know, that's a big headline in itself.
Makes me want to cry. R.I.P. to them, too. That was a really bright year when they were together.
It was. It was a really, when they were like in the beginning of their relationship, towards the end, not so much.
Yeah, they got a little weird. It kind of got a little noticeably awkward. But anyway, Liam Hemsworth has opened up about his ex, Miley Cyrus. And I don't know about you, but I haven't heard anything
on
his side.
He finally has opened up?
I haven't heard anything on his side.
I haven't heard, yeah, anything at all.
Yeah, so I was like, ooh, this juicy drama. But he's a stand-up kind of guy based off this interview. Instead of trashing his ex-fiance, Miley Cyrus...
Because there's a lot of things he could trash about. Yeah.
Or sharing dirty details of their romance, he respects her privacy. He says, and I quote, "There's not much to say. There's no bad blood there." This was reported to Nylon Guy's November issue. Still, he said that he's not a fan of paparazzi attention he received after they broke up in 2013. He says, and I quote, "You never get used to it because you get followed and you get chased, and it's never a fun experience. I think when people see photos of you out and about in your personal life, they assume that you've asked for it and that you want that kind of attention. But I don't think anyone in their right mind asks for this kind of thing," end quote.
Wow. Well, paparazzi is, you know, such a major thing to stars out there that some people love the paparazzi. Kardashians, that's all they want all the time.
Oh my gosh.
But when you put like Liam Hemsworth, he just seems like such a, you know, like you said, stand-up guy, low-key, you know, being followed around by a paparazzi, that's probably not, you know, your favorite time to spend your day.
Well, and if you're a diehard Liam Hemsworth fan, you would know he was raised in Australia, like my girl Azalea, love her. But he has been quoted in interviews and just out in his public life saying that he grew up in the outback, basically. He threw boomerangs, he went like hunting for little bugs.
So being in Hollywood is complete 180 spin.
Yeah. Yep. So Liam Hemsworth, just because you didn't even spill anything juicy about Miley, I love you even more because you
respect
are.
Respect level.
Yeah, your respect level just went through the roof, and I just, I wish you would just marry me.
And can't wait for the next Hunger Game movie.
Oh, I love that. When's that coming? That's coming out in November, right?
Yeah, it's coming out in November, I believe.
Yeah, you'll be seeing me and Ruby with our little Chipotle burritos.
Like last year?
It was last year.
Last year, yeah.
Last year, Catching Fire.
Yeah, we went to the... One of the first showings. One of the first showings, and we had a little Chipotle burrito sitting in like one of the rows watching the Hunger Games, just obsessed with it.
And if you want to know what the hardest thing to do in this world is, it's trying to shove a Chipotle burrito in a little like purse into the movie theater.
And then eating it silently while the movie's going on so it doesn't distract people around you.
And trying to keep it in the foil.
Yeah.
That was, the struggle was real.
It was.
But moving on, get a little off topic here. Tracy Morgan. If you are all aware of what's been happening, you would know that he was in a nearly fatal limo bus accident on June 7th. Tracy Morgan is taking an exception with Walmart's version of the events. For those of you who don't know why Walmart's anywhere associated with this, a Walmart truck driver slammed into their limo bus. The big box retailer's court filing this week states that they were charged, and Morgan and his fellow passengers' failure to wear seatbelts is the sole reason one man was killed and four others injured.
Wow.
So Walmart's taken a pretty ballsy stand on this.
Blaming it on the other.
Mm-hmm. His longtime friend and his mentor, writer, comedian friend, James Jimmy Mack McManair, was killed in a six-vehicle crash. Kevin Roper, the driver of the Walmart truck, has pleaded not guilty to charges of vehicular manslaughter and assault by auto. Walmart previously stated that they believe that Roper had been operating within federal driver safety guidelines that mandate a certain amount of no driving time between shifts, and the retailer is prepared to take responsibility if the truck was in fact found to be a factor into the accident. But Tracy Morgan goes on to say, "I can't believe Walmart is blaming me for an accident that they caused. My friends and I were doing nothing wrong, and I want to thank my fans for sticking with me at this very difficult time. I love you all. I'm fighting hard every day to get back. Morgan suffered several broken ribs, a broken nose, a broken leg that required surgery, and his friend Jimmy James Mack McNair was also killed in that crash.
That's such a sad thing to talk about because it was a, you know, Walmart doesn't have small cars, small trucks that, you know, just drive around on the freeway.
Big flipping semis.
Big semis, like you said, that are probably packed with
junk. Sweatshop junk.
And then just crashing into this limo bus. And how could you blame someone if you were the one
especially
crashing
into them?
Especially
when a death came out of it. And I hate to interject this, but have you ever been in a limo bus with seatbelts?
I have never been in a limo bus with seatbelts.
Thank you. Walmart, do your research.
Boom.
Yeah, I'm not shopping there anymore. I'm sticking with Target.
Sticking with Target because of that.
And they even sell food and you don't. Some McDonald's. Disgusting. Not that I can really say it's disgusting, but in comparison to.
And, you know, there you go.
Moving along, though.
Next subject.
Our basic underline was we don't like Walmart. Tracy Morgan, we got your back, homie.
We're right there.
So shows to watch for this season. There are so many shows. I have never been more overwhelmed with shows. I listed just, I mean, five right here. And these are the shows that I've been picking up and I'm watching or I've been a fan of for a long time that I believe you as the listeners should be going out and seeking because it's getting colder here in San Rafael.
So you got to go inside, watch your favorite shows and just, you know, stay on repeat with all of them.
Yeah, be basic with your Starbucks.
Be basic.
Yeah, basic. My five shows are How to Get Away with Murder. Resurrected.
One, two.
American Horror Story Freak Show.
Three.
That starts October 8th. And then Revenge in Nashville.
Four.
All of these shows I would recommend to my grave. They are awesome. How to Get Away with Murder just had its season premiere this last week. It's a beautiful cast, very talented people, and it's just, I mean, as catchy as the title. It's a lawyer who teaches her students how to get away with murder.
Kind of a scary thing to put on television,
but she's
though.
A lawyer.
There you go.
She's a lawyer and her whole job is that she's a defense attorney. So she basically covers up people's oopsies.
Oopsies.
So she teaches them how to cover up oopsies. And then her students end up getting caught in a murder of their own and using her class advice to be better defense lawyers.
I think that'd be a really fun class to, like, you know, jump in on. Like, even though I'm not trying to be a lawyer or anything like that. It'd be, you know, fun to, like, understand the fundamentals.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating show. There's a lot of plot twists to it. If you haven't heard of it, I mean, they're only one show behind, so just go get it on your on-demand.
Jump
get
on
it.
In.
Yep, you'll get it. Resurrected is a new show that Ruby and Woo! I actually, we've been kind of catching up on season one. It's second season.
It's crazy.
It's really a mind twister. It's somebody who believes in the religious beliefs of evolution, but also believes in scientific evolution.
You're basically on the edge of your seat the whole time watching this.
Mm-hmm. And a little small synopsis, it basically talks about what if people who you love the most passed away, but then randomly came back and their only memory was right before they died? They come back as exactly how they died. I mean,
one of them died at age five, they come back
as a five-year-old. Even if you're 80 years old, they come back as the five-year-old boy you lost so many years ago.
Yeah.
It's a plot twist after plot twist. It has a little bit of comic relief, very small comic relief, but it's a very touching
and it's
show.
I feel like it has some scary parts into it, though.
It's a little eerie, and it makes you think. It's not a show you'd watch really necessarily for mindless TV.
Yeah, it's not a show you'd, like, sit down and watch with, you know, your 10-year-old and your 7-year-old.
Or, yeah, if you have your homework up or if you're having, like, a little social.
It draws you in.
Mm-hmm. It's a good like, couple show.
Yeah.
Friend show. Moving on to American Horror Story for all of you freaky, scary lovers.
Not my type, but
not,
you know,
not her
you,
type.
You take it away, Ruby Joe.
I'm all into it. I love American Horror Story. Their first two seasons were about a haunted house. Second season was an asylum. And then their third season was actually about witches with Emma Roberts. The fourth season's called Freak Show, and it premieres October 8th. If you haven't followed the last three seasons, do not even worry because it picks up a new storyline and a new set of roles every season. Premieres October 8th. It's
Ruby
great.
Joe's been trying to get me to watch it.
Oh yeah. It's a good show. It really fits in with Halloween and the eerie creepiness. I've been told that it's going to be the creepier seasons, but I'm going to be the judge myself because if it's too creepy, I'm out like trout.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm never into those scary movie things. So I'm starting out.
I think you'll like this next one.
I'll have to try it.
Revenge. You saw a little bit of that when we were going to Katy Perry.
Yeah, just a little bit. Then I fell asleep on watching it.
Revenge stars a couple of stars. It was a star-studded cast. The lead actress in that is Emily Thorne. Her real name. I'm slipping on her real name. Oh, it's Emily Van Camp. Duh. Her name's Emily Van Camp. Josh Bowman is her boyfriend in real life and her ex-husband in the show. It's a really good storyline about a girl who's trying to avenge her father's death. And this season four, it's how everything kind of blows up in her face when she thinks it's over. Nashville, my final pick.
One of my favorite shows. Even though I don't like country, I do love Nashville.
It'll make you love country. You got Hayden Panettiere, Connie Britton. I don't really know anybody. I mean, they have the Macy and Lennon.
Yeah, they have. I mean, what makes it a really good show is the songs that are sung, I think.
The songs that are sung, it's a little perfect mix of star-studded cast meets.
It has the drama, it has the scandals, it has the music.
Mm-hmm. It just started its first season premiere, or its third season premiere, was this last week. Great show. A little bit of mindless TV, but it has enough, twists and turns to keep you captivated.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it. It's good for if you're trying to cozy up and just be on your lonesome, I guess, on your couch. Yeah,
Party for one with your Starbucks in hand.
Yeah, being basic.
Yeah.
Good show. Highly recommend all of those.
I have two shows that actually are pretty good shows that I've heard from my friends, some of our friends, and family.
Oh, go for it.
So there's Awkward. Have you heard of Awkward?
I've heard of Awkward.
Mm-hmm. Awkward is hysterical. It's about this girl in high school that everything awkward that does happen in life happens to her. And so they just started their season six, I believe.
It's already season six.
Yeah, season six. And it started last week. But so this week was episode two. So you can get back on that. And then it's the first season of Faking It. Have you heard of that one?
Oh, I see. Is it the two best friends?
Is it two best friends?
I've seen the previews.
One of them's in love with the other one. And then she didn't know. And then they date to become popular in the school. And it's I thought it was a weird concept. I didn't know how I felt about it. But then I was watching it some more and I was okay, it's a pretty good show. It's based off of high school stuff. So kind of, younger age crowd. I would say high schoolers like it more.
Mm-hmm.
So those are those two shows.
Track for maybe your teenagers out there.
Exactly. Throw those in.
So earlier in our tease, we talked about what Michael Phelps, an Olympian swimmer, and Amanda Bynes, crazy loony bird, have in common. Can you guess, Ruby Joe, what that could be?
I can guess what it could be because I read the story.
Oh, well, then that's cheating. That's peeking through the blindfolds. I'm pinning the tail on the donkey. Well, I'm sure if you haven't been following it, Michael Phelps and Amanda Bynes both got their second DUIs this last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, craziness, right? Michael Phelps has broke his silence about his following arrest and his DUI on Maryland. The 29-year-old Olympic athlete was arrested on September 30th at approximately 1:40 a.m., and he was charged with driving under the influence, excessive speeding, and crossing double line lanes within the Fort McHenry Tunnel on the I-95 in Maryland.
He was basically just going radical.
Yeah. This is the second DUI, like I've said, for Phelps, who at the age of 19 was also pulled over by police in Maryland and arrested for a DUI in November 2004. According to authorities, Phelps was driving almost twice the posted speed limit, so that's 84 miles per hour and a 45 mile per hour. And after he was stopped, law enforcement, they pulled the regular, let's do a sobriety test, let's see what's going on with you, because he's of age.
And it's 1:40 in the morning, so it's sketch hours to be going that fast.
According to our sources, he was unable to satisfactorily perform a series of standard field sobriety tests. In the wake of this athlete's run-in with the law, the USA Swimming has released a statement saying that although Phelps, who is the most decorated Olympian in the history with 22 medals, does not have any more meets scheduled this year, so it's unclear if disciplinary action will be taken. As an athlete, this was a little shocking.
It was.
Two DUIs and
DUIs, and then with everything happening with the Hope Solo, what is going on with our athletes?
I know.
They're supposed to be good role models.
I know. And Amanda Bynes, there's not much to say on her except she got her second DUI as well.
It's crazy to think that Amanda Bynes, going through all that crazy stuff and rehab, in and out of rehab that she's been through, and she's on her second. And Michael Phelps, who's an Olympian swimmer, is on his second.
I bet you never thought that would be their common factor, but Amanda Bynes just flew off the radar. She's missing.
Missing?
After her little DUI thing, her parents were asked by media if they knew where she was. They have no idea. September 10th, her parents' conservatorship over all of her affairs expired, so she's back on her own. parents aren't controlling anything. She's on her own. She's been attending campus in Irvine, California, so down south.
Wow.
Yeah, she's going to FITM and she's attending classes. She's getting an apartment down there. But since this arrest, she's gone. She's woof.
MIA.
Her parents think she's in, her parents think she's in New York.
Okay, so she may be in New York. So if you're near New York, yeah. Just let us know.
Keep
if you
an
see
eye
her.
Out. She looks a little kookier than she has in the past.
But all her surgeries?
Yep. Yeah, she's with all her surgeries and her bad extensions. So keep an eye out for our dear old pal, Amanda Bynes.
Dear old pal, Amanda Bynes.
That wraps up our little Hollywood sleaze. We're going into a little bit of like techie troubles and techie oh my goshes. This blew my mind. Do you remember the whole Tupac hologram thing at Coachella a couple years ago, 2012?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this whole hologramming thing is getting out of freaking control. Julian Assange turned up on stage in Massachusetts on Sunday. Don't know who Julian Assange is? He is the mastermind behind these holograms for Michael Jackson and Tupac. He is being held up firmly in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. And thanks to the tech company Hologram USA, the WikiLeaks founder was able to have his image reconstructed live on stage at the Nantucket Project. That's an annual bash that brings together the world's leading thinkers, visionaries, and performers. And for some informational chit-chat and social shenanigans. If the name of the company rings a bell, that might be because they were also behind the famous reappearance of Tupac. But unlike Tupac, Assange is most definitely still around, kicking and screaming. In his Ecuadorian-owned building in London, due to his self-imposed confinement at the embassy, he's avoiding extradition in Sweden, where he faces questioning over alleged sex assaults.
Oh.
Yeah. Assange didn't get much out, or at all, but to be exact, when he was able, while he's able to do print interviews and appear online for the embassy via services like Skype, this is the first time since he's turned up in the embassy 2 years ago that he's gone all 3D.
Really?
So he was there life form, holograms, cross-legged, doing a full-on interview.
He was in both. That's crazy.
It was weird. Like, wow. I mean, you could like go woof and swipe right through him.
I think those hologram things, that's crazy.
It's a little creepy. I don't like
it. You saw it like when we were younger on like Xenon in those movies. Yeah. And you're like, wow, this is like the technology. And now we're here. Technology is right there. It's in front of us.
I think it's scary because it's like
the digital age.
Well, you know how like with criminals, they pull criminals out usually saying, hey, we'll put you on air. We'll give you fame. Like, you know that? Well, now this just gives criminals some kind of out, because if people start to figure out how to hologram, criminals can hide out and God knows where.
And then the hologram could just be in the jail.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
But that's what's going on in the world. Moving on to the biggest craze. 2 weeks ago, we reported on the iPhone 6 and its release.
Oh, my.
But there's some technical difficulties with the iPhone 6 and people are outraged. The iPhone 6 is fairly larger than the iPhone 5, and it's literally like a little mini tablet.
It
is. Very big, but the iPhone 6 Plus, which is just double the size of that, people are finding that while it's in your pocket or in your purse, it'll bend to the shape of whatever it's molding to. So if it's in your pocket, it'll bend to the shape of your leg, and then when you take it out, it's stuck in a curve. But when you try and bend it back to straight, it cracks in half. Right in half. You would think that with this kind of technology, Apple would be on top of their game.
You would think so, but it is the first one of that kind.
But I mean,
six plus.
But you have to also realize this is six iPhones later. They need to realize something as simple as something really big is going to be really weak in the middle.
That's true.
I feel like these are the techiest people in the world, and they couldn't figure that out.
Or they could figure it out, and so they're going to make another one after that that's going to be even more expensive.
Or they just want more money.
More money,
because they'll say it's your fault.
They will say, don't put it in your pocket. Don't sit down with it.
Dirty dogs. And with the iPhone 6, there's this new feature I'm hearing called Apple Pay. It's something that they're constructing on where you don't have to carry your wallet around anymore. You literally put your credit card information on your phone, and instead of carrying your credit card, you can just scan your credit card for purchases.
Just like they have the Starbucks card that does that. You just scan it on your phone.
But this is your debit cards, your credit cards. This is what basically keeps your credit solid so you can buy things. I find this wrong.
I don't think I would ever use it.
Absolutely wrong. With all the technological hacks that are going on in this world, that is so wrong.
Yeah, people can hack anyone's phone nowadays.
Identity thief would be so easy now.
Yeah. It really would.
They'll steal all of your credit card information. They will drain your bank account. And what's the bank going to say? Sorry.
Sorry, you shouldn't put it on your phone.
So that's a wrap with my tech news.
All right. When we come back, we're going to be talking about sports. Obviously, talking about the Giants and their wild card entry. And then going on to seven reasons why you should still watch the Major League playoffs. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
This is Good Day from the Bay, and I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe.
Wackiest news to get your mind off your day. Let's get it started. A truck dripping rancid juices from thousands of pounds of rotting chicken sat in the heat, attracting flies Thursday at a Western Montana truck stop after an Idaho Trucking Company employee abandoned it at least 3 days earlier. The driver left the trailer containing approximately 37,000 pounds of frozen chicken near the Flying J truck stop west of Missoula after the company refused his request for more money, authorities say. The chicken was worth $80,000. Aisha Johnson with the Missoula City County Health Department said Dixie River Insurance Company was in charge of cleaning up the mess, and it's not a simple job. It involves getting the landfill prepared to receive the load, Johnson told the Missoulian on Thursday. They'll probably have to dig a separate hole for this. Move over, Ben Roethlisberger. There's a new number 7 in western Pennsylvania. The folks at Valwood Farms in Loretto, Pennsylvania, have named a baby calf Big Ben after the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback because the cow naturally has a number 7 on his head. The farm has posted the calf's picture on its Facebook page, and Clarissa Idle-Wetzwerk, the director of business development for the family-owned food and grocery farm, is hoping Roethlisberger won't mind. She says Baby Ben is awfully cute, so hopefully Big Ben won't mind sharing his namesake. The farm plans to display the calf when it opens its pumpkin patch for business next month. Two amorous donkeys, Napoleon and Astucia, who were separated because of an outcry over their lovemaking, have been reunited at a zoo in Poland. The couple, together for 10 years, got into trouble when mothers expressed outrage that children had to witness their mating. A local conservative official, Lydia Duziak, took up their cause and persuaded the director of the zoo to have the animals put in separate pens. Thursday, the zoo acknowledged making a mistake and said the donkeys are again in one pen after about a week apart. The interruption of the long-standing romance turned into a national news item in Poland in the past few days. Nearly 7,000 people signed a petition to have them reunited. Two fan pages appeared on Facebook devoted to their cause, with a total of nearly 10,000 likes and a photo of donkeys in the act. Experts weighed in, saying the separation could hurt their psychological well-being, and politicians were asked about it on the country's leading news program. In their decade together, Napoleon and Astucia have produced 6 offspring, including their 2-month-old, Tadusi. I'm Harley D, signing off. This is radio.dominican.edu.
Welcome back to Good Day from the Bay. This is radio.dominican.edu.
I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe. Time for some sports. Starting off with San Francisco Giants, Madison Bumgarner says it's simply natural for him to pitch with a delivery that even a catcher like his friend Buster Posey calls funky. It's also second nature for Bumgarner to play with a fiery competitiveness effectiveness that essentially puts the outbursts against umpires and opponents. Put the two together and you have one of the top pitchers in baseball, a left-hander who won games in two different World Series by the time he was 23, as well as the San Francisco Giants' best hope for advancing past tonight's wild card game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. So Madison Baumgartner, one of my favorite players for the Giants, the pitcher, he is very young and he's already won two, not one, but two World Series games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's crazy cool.
Yeah. He sounds like a stud to me. I don't know much about baseball, but that sounds pretty studly.
When I went to the dugout for the Giants, I stood right next to him and I like waved. I was like, hey.
You're like, hey.
Hey, even though you're married.
I love you.
Hey. Yeah.
I'm your number one fan.
Basically. All right. And now moving on to seven reasons to still watch the Major League Baseball playoffs. For the first time since 1992, baseball's playoffs will proceed without traditional East Coast powerhouses like the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, and the Philadelphia Phillies. The TV ratings may suffer, but are the playoffs still worth watching? You betcha. Here are a few reasons why. First off, Yasiel Puig, love him or hate him, you can't keep your eyes off the miracle Los Angeles Dodgers outfielder. Top notch. Number two, small markets and a big party. Those who wonder about baseball's competitive balance may not have noticed that the low-budget Pittsburgh Pirates have made the playoffs for the second year in a row, and the Kansas Royals are also crashing the party for the first time since 1985. So those, you know, big powerhouse teams, not in the playoffs, but the small little ones that work hard, work, they've made it.
Little busy bees, little worker bees.
Exactly. And next, the Hardware Gallery. The Detroit Tigers rotation boasts the last three Cy Young winners in the AL, Justin Verlander, David Price, and Max Scherzer. The last three AL MVP awards also landed in Motown. The last two in Miguel Caparega and 2011 one to Verlander. And for the third reason, we have Sandy Koufax reduce. It's no longer to compare Clay Kershaw to the perhaps most dominant left fielder of all time. Four consecutive ER titles and an impending Cy Young Award. That's there you go for the 26-year-old. And the next reason is baseball's best, Mike Trout, is smoothly taking over Derek Jeter at the face of the game. And he gets to showcase his skills in the postseason stage for the first time. Trout is a treat to watch, I would say. Adam Wainwright, Uncle Charlie, nobody twirls a 12-6 curveball like the St. Louis Cardinals ace, the best active pitcher never to win a Cy Young Award. And finally, hot stuff. The Washington's national features two of the five hardest throwers among National League starters in Steven Strasburg and Jordan Zimmermann. The latter just threw a no-hitter, the former to design for one. At least one. Maybe Friday we'll see it.
Well, you lost me at Mike Trout.
All this baseball talk.
You said Mike Trout and I stopped. So I was like, he gets me all speechless.
You get all speechless.
He's just so hot.
So these are reasons why, you know, it's Orange October for the Giants. So that means playoffs are here.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah. Orange October. That's why everyone.
I'm not in the sports
walking
loop.
Around school today. Everyone was in their Giants gear because it's the first day of
really?
October.
Is that why you're wearing that?
Yeah, it's why I'm wearing my Giant shirt. I saw like four other people in their Giant stuff too. It's the first day of October. Orange October begins.
See, I was going to wear my breast cancer shirt.
Oh.
Because it's the month of breast cancer.
Orange October, go Giants. That's
or
why.
Go
I'm,
breast cancer.
I'm ready.
Do you know what? That's why we're together. She represents the Giants and I represent the pink.
The pink. The
breast cancer. The pink.
You know, we're supporting both sides.
Yeah, we like to keep it pretty fair and even. So moving on, we're going to go do a quick little touch up on couponing. So Ruby Joe, you have some couponing tips for everyone out there?
Yes, I have a quick five couponing tips that I can share for you guys today. So for you college students, be careful with credit. Don't go out there and get your own credit card right away because those charges will add up and you will be in debt pretty soon. Mm-hmm. Next, stick to a budget. Each week, decide whether how much money you're going to spend. Is it going to be $50 each week? Is it going to be $100 each week? But you need to stick to a limit and do not go over it. Because if you keep spending like $200 one week, $300 the next, $100, just on food alone, not good.
I heard that.
Number three, save early and often. Say you get a babysitting job or any small job on campus, make sure you save your money up and you save it early, because towards the end of the semester, you're going to be counting every last cent you have.
Yeah, back to our like 2 week segments, the Dollar Tree, like you're poor and like no.
Yeah, no, you got to save early and often. Number four, take advantage of the student perks. So sometimes Dominican gives like free food on campus, or if there's different little student perks you got going on there,
take advantage of it.
Take advantage of the free food. And five, pay less for textbooks. Don't necessarily go to your bookstore to get your textbooks. I would say go online, Amazon. You can save a good $100 on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Or even Chegg.
Or even Chegg, exactly.
It's a really good one.
So those are my five tips for you guys today.
That was beautiful. I loved it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to apply those to my life since I so badly need them.
I know. Mine is save early and often. That's probably my biggest one I need to keep in check with me.
Well, what a sweet way to wrap up the show. If you guys are familiar with our show, this is the end. Oh, boo-hoo. Oh,
time to say goodbye.
It's time to say goodbye for Waltata. Classes must continue. So this was another day of Good Day from the Bay, and I'm Harper Clementine.
And I'm Ruby Joe.
And make sure you stay tuned to us every Wednesday, 2 to 3. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.